And we're back. Welcome to the Culture and Cannabis Podcast. This is episode number 27, JC.
27.
So we have an awesome guest today. This person's been in the Las Vegas cannabis community for a while. We have Robert Cohen from the Cohen Medical Center. How are we doing, my man?
Doing great.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. So listen, what is the Cohen Medical Center?
Well, Cohen Medical Centers was started by my wife and my father in 2009. I had a corporate job, but you know, I could see the cannabis industry starting around us. So my father was a retired doctor, and they needed doctors to help with the patients. And I was a salesman at the time, so all I could see was the dollars. You know, until I started talking to my father. My father said he would do it. My wife said she would do it. But my dad said, I'm not going to do it just for money. I'm going to do it to actually help people. So we've always adapted, you know, everything kind of goes to the dad motto is if it helps people, we keep doing it. So we started in 2009, actually inside a dispensary, where the doctor's office was on one side. We did a notary in the middle, and then the dispensary was just in the next office. And they would smoke in the other office. So it was definitely the wild, wild west.
Yeah. So that's when you started. It was 2009.
Right.
And that was in Colorado.
Yeah.
What part?
Denver.
Denver,
right off of Santa Fe.
And 2009, right?
Yeah.
I bet you those were some fun medical days, right?
You know, I just saw the dollars. Okay. You know, so I went in and I'm like, oh my God, there's 40 people here the first day we walk in. Dad, my wife, and me, and 40 guys.
And they're getting licenses.
And they all want medical cards.
They can buy legal marijuana.
And they're 36 of them are vets. Shocked me, really, to find out. It really learned really fast how much it really does help people.
Yes.
Because I've smoked since I was in eighth grade. You know, every day, not a problem. Just what I do, part of my makeup. Man, they need this stuff. I mean, I had a guy that, one of the guys says, you know, if you could just come get me in the car, I can't sit in this room. There's too many people. Because he had the PTSD so bad. Mm-hmm. So I learned really quick. Plus, being the hospitality background, you know, I tried to keep them all there. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was 40 people. How long is that going to take? I was doing, you know, math on my dad. He's doing 10 or 15 minutes a person. We're going to be there 7 hours. Mm. I had to get pizzas and sodas, you know, just to keep it going, keep it light. But we learned really fast. 6 months later, we had to move out. And nobody would rent to us because we were in the cannabis business. Mm.
Good old stigma.
We had 18 different places that we had picked out. Loved them. They were all great. No one would rent to us. We didn't touch the plant. We were a doctor's office. Maybe we smoked some in the back, but we didn't touch the plant, and no one would rent to us. My wife stayed on Craigslist. Probably 3 days before we were going to get thrown out of the dispensary because of the rule change, she finds something on Craigslist, which is 3 blocks from the dispensary we were working with.
Oh, wow.
It's 700 square feet, and it's an artist loft.
Oh, cool.
Yahtzee. Doesn't get any better than that. $675 a month.
Oh,
I was
beautiful.
Like, damn, I don't know. I was actually scared. You know, you don't know.
Sure.
You know, whenever you sign a lease, you're like, damn, that's $7,000 or $8,000, whatever it is. You know, now, okay. Then, you know, we were just starting out. We started a business with $0, with just ourselves and work. Mm-hmm. Everything we did was organic. It was really a unique situation. I don't think you can do what we did again. I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Do you mind?
Yeah, no. Smoke it up.
Let's smoke that.
What do you got?
I've got the little minis here.
That's Vegas cannabis branded, very strong.
I won these
minis. Shout out to GLP.
Yeah, shout out to GLP. Shout out to Vegas Cannabis Mag. If you guys haven't seen, you know, January issue.
Oh, yeah, you guys are like on the cover here.
Yeah, we're right there on the cover.
It's actually pretty cool.
Robert has it. Actually, Chuck, our third partner, who's never in studio, is actually in studio right now taking pictures. I wish I could pan the camera to him, but I can't. But
he's on the cover too.
But he's on the cover too. Chuck, check him out. But yeah, I love GLP swag.
So let's talk
about swag in general.
Yeah,
the swag or the what'd you call You like what?
GLP.
Oh, GLP. GLP. They make good weed.
Yeah, good weed.
Steve Cantwell, right?
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this time, right? And it's Denver. It's 2009. How long had it been medical in Colorado?
Medical started in the year 2000.
In 2000.
Same as here.
Okay.
But the dispensary started at the end of 2009, beginning of 2010.
Got it. Okay.
And these were dispensaries that, you know, if you're only familiar with Las Vegas, you know, with the well-heeled dispensaries and how much money they had when they started, these were guys that started with $30,000, $50,000 to start these businesses.
Sure.
You know, they had, you know, the Russian Escalade guys would show up with the duffel bags. They could, you know, sell them the products. They had nice ladies that came in that made, you know, local edibles just in foil. Level one, level two, and level three.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, well, how strong is that? They're like, well, level one isn't as strong. Level two stronger. Thank you so much.
This is at the dispensaries?
Yes. Yeah, that was the very beginning.
Okay.
So it was, nothing was regulated, obviously.
Sure.
And it was just people getting the medicine that they needed and us all learning. That's what Dad said at the beginning, is I really want to see if this actually works as medicine. And I want to learn as much as I want to help these people. So in the process, I got to learn, and I got to actually work with my father, which was amazing. You know, my father was 77 when he started, and I actually got the experience to work with him for almost 10 years, seven of those almost every day.
Yeah, that's special.
It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing, because my dad being a doctor, it's not like I ever saw him work. He was a surgeon. Mm. I didn't want to see him work. He was a proctologist. Mm. So the last thing I wanted to do was see see any of that. And this gave him a chance to do something different. You know, he got to connect with people, and he just gave me the box. I could use the box.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. I don't know how to ashtray.
Yeah, shout out to our ashtray Todd. Yeah, talking about the ashtray. Shout out to Todd. So you're in Denver in 2009. You come to Las Vegas what year?
2015.
Yeah.
Just before the dispensaries opened.
Just right before the dispensaries opened.
Figured I needed, you know, about a 6 month head start on the business.
So you've been full time 6 years doing recommendations and.
Well, my wife had, and I still kept my corporate job till 2013.
Got it. Okay.
Till it went wreck.
Okay.
And I kind of knew after it went wreck in Colorado, there was a missing demographic in everything that we did. And once it went legal, I knew that they would come get cards. It was basically 40 to 55 that was completely missing. And when it went legal, it was crazy because they went to the dispensaries. They realized, wow, this actually does help a medical condition, and they all got their cards. So I was right to quit at that time and really run the business at that point. But my wife and my whole family did it before that. My sister, my son. I've ruined my family with my business. What can you do?
You're probably not the only one.
JC might know
there's no manual about running a family business. It's like, I'll bring anybody in, you know.
Yeah.
Mother-in-law, yeah, not the best idea, but, you know, we tried, you know, we gave her a shot. You know, because I didn't know how to run a business. Everything for us, I'm a twin, and my twin passed in 2008 from cancer. And I was, you know, kind of too busy being a great sales guy to be able to spend real good time with her. Mm. Looking back on it, I wish I would have known then what I know now about cannabis, and she might have had a fighting chance at it, not a great chance because of the kind of cancer she had. But ever since that, this business has like just gone on as it should, and like she's been guiding us the whole time. Things happen just when they're supposed to for us. And I feel blessed that way.
That's awesome.
Sorry for your loss, but it's great that you know, you can find purpose and it can be a light, you know, that keeps you guys going. Why Nevada? What happened?
Well, Nevada is actually, if you think about it, the closest, biggest city next to Denver that had cannabis.
Okay.
Which was really all we knew.
Yeah.
We knew that our Denver office didn't really need us anymore.
Okay.
So my wife and I kind of needed an adventure. So we came out here and played tourists for a couple weeks and investigated and found we had a good friend that was moving out here. We had a lot of people that were doing consulting from Colorado. So we had a lot of ins at the dispensaries, and we thought that, you know, that's how we do our business in Colorado, is we're recommended from dispensaries. We don't have to advertise, you know. You go into the dispensary, they're like, yeah, go to Cohen, here's the card. Tell them we sent you, and they get, you know, they get a discount. So that's just always how it's worked. So we figured that's how it would work here. We were able to find, amazingly, a sublease office here within 3 days of us driving out here. Half the rent for a year. Guy wanted to get out of a medical building, you know, right where we're still today, which was right by the partner that we were at the time. The medical never did take off here, though. I didn't know that it would never take off here. I figured
it was short-lived.
It was very short-lived, yes. Well, and when Sandoval made rec part of the budget. And I mean, it was medical here with dispensaries for like a year and a half. And then it was rec, and it was like, oh, who cares? Well, it still kind of matters.
It does matter.
You know?
And can you touch on that, like the importance of that? Because obviously in Denver, I don't know the exact law, but in Denver or Colorado, they have it's like the amount of patients you have at a dispensary means the amount of plants that you can grow.
Well, that's why we were able to grow at the very beginning. It was a symbiotic relationship between us and the dispensaries. They needed patients, and geez, so did we. You know, the more patients they had, the more plants they could grow. The more plants, the patients they had with, you know, if they had just a patient, they get six plants to grow. You know, so as many, you know, we had people that would bring in 30 patients. They'd tell us they were bringing in seven, but they would bring 30. Part of tap dancing through the through your day sometimes. It's like, whoa, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that, but okay, let's start filling out paperwork, everybody. Start at the beginning.
So and so Nevada didn't obviously like.
No, it wasn't connected at all.
At all,
nothing
right?
to do with it.
And that's, and I think that's still an issue that I don't know if that can even be reversed, but that's something that I would like to pursue just to check that out, just because I feel like, you know, the medical program is so important, right? Like, and I went, when I went to Colorado, I was actually on the podcast when I was there. It was just so like awe shocking of how well they treated the medical patients still, and like how that's so still important. Like, I went with my friend Cole Marcus, and he's a medical patient out there, and he gets to go in this like really nice dispensary where I go into this average one, and like and they treat them better, they get better deals, they get better products. It's like they get cream of the crop.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there's some stores here that do make an effort to do that. You know, there's a lot of stores that miss the mark, obviously, especially with the rec and stuff like
that. There's a lot that don't even try.
Yeah,
or they care.
And obviously don't even try.
But let's talk about why it's important, though. You know, I mean, it's like, what are some of the things? I mean, the obvious things, right, is you save a little bit of money, right?
Oh, to be a patient?
To be a patient,
Well, you save 10%. There's, but that's where the... When cannabis went recreational in Nevada, the patients took a hit. And it was overnight, they added that 15% cultivation tax on all products for the convenience of having one inventory to sell out of. So instead of taxing the medical at one rate and the rec at another, they said, well, we're just gonna tax the whole thing at 15%. So that immediately added 15% to the tax on where the patients were. So the only benefit they get is a 10% fee that they don't pay, and whatever the dispensary does as far as specials. They can also get higher milligram edibles. They can get more flower. For me, it's a safety thing, though. I'm a patient, and I want people to know that I use it. In fact, recently I was driving through Utah, and my son was driving, and I had a lump on my foot. Something was wrong with one of my shoes, and I put a topical on my foot. We got pulled over. Guy comes up to my side of the car. Do I smell cannabis? Yes, you do. There was no issue at the end of the day. I could tell a really long story there, but at the end of the day, we got to leave and nothing happened, and I showed him my cannabis, and he didn't have a problem with it. I was a patient. I showed him my card, and he had a couple of questions to ask about the card, and that was about it. let us go. Now, he pulled us over for going 85 and an 80. So
okay.
He was pretty bored that day anyway.
Yeah.
But to be able to just walk away in Utah, I don't think that happens unless you have a card.
No, 100%. Yeah.
I think you get arrested.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been out, been somewhat involved in the Utah cannabis market with Harmonious CBD, with NECAN conventions, with Reno Cannabis Convention, and the Utah Cannabis Convention are connected through NECAN. So I've been out there a lot and, you know, experienced that market. Yeah, people are getting put in jail every day for it. So yeah. It's very real. So yeah, I guess it's the safety. I just think that, like, going back to, like, even the products, right? Like, companies are not even producing higher milligram products anymore just because it doesn't make sense for them. Like, it's not economically feasible.
And it's economically feasible, but nobody buys them, so they destroy them all.
Yes.
They throw them all away.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when in the days where they had 500 milligram and 1,000 milligram edibles, they don't exist anymore.
The Corova Black Bar.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when I used to go to Silver State Relief up in Reno and get one of those 1,000 milligram bars. And you can't even find them anymore.
I got one of those at Reef one time. They made me sign a release.
Oh, what
there was a release on that one.
That's crazy.
I don't have a copy of it, but I thought it was funny.
That is funny. But yeah, so I just feel like, you know, it's just such an overlooked market. And, like, you know, even, you know, go back to the products that are made for the market, right? Like, there's no, like I can think of a couple brands that are medically focused, like Troche, for example. But there's really not, a lot of people are just going after the rec market.
Yeah. I mean, in this market, they definitely are. You know, it's Las Vegas. I mean, I don't know.
I expected something different.
Yeah.
Same.
Just, you know.
I think, you know.
But if, you know what? If I didn't come here and I didn't, you know, make probably the wrong decision coming here, I wouldn't have a CBD line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be doing that. So, you know, when we first got here, I mean, you know, we had rent on an office and we were seeing 10 people a month. It was really hard to draw from getting legal and Dr. Reefer with billboards, you know, with my howdy doody approach. You know, it didn't really go over really well because you got to be here a year before anybody really recognizes that you're actually going to stay.
The doctor, those billboards are crazy. Yeah.
But they've been there forever.
Yeah.
They had honestly been there forever. So he had a great hold on the market. So I had a meeting with the city and I'm like, so what else can I sell? You know, can I sell t-shirts and swag? They're like, sure, all day. I'm like, I really don't want to do that. What else can I do? Can I do massage? Well, it's totally different, you know, license, but potentially you can do that. Okay. What about paraphernalia? Because, you know, safe paraphernalia. Yeah, you don't want to go there. It's a whole different license. And, you know, they made me get a cannabis or marijuana support license, which actually screws up your life when you get one of those.
Why is that?
Yeah. For credit.
Oh, really?
I own a cannabis business.
Oh.
I don't own a cannabis business because we only sell hemp. But as far as if I want to go get a loan, I own a cannabis business and I can't qualify for a mortgage loan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have a house with 50% equity that I can't get a loan on. I want to refinance it, and I can't.
Because of the cannabis support license? Wow. And you don't even own a cultivation or a production or anything that...
But hey, but they'll get banking figured out, you know? I'm a patient guy, you know? My son owns my house, you know? It's not...
There are ways around...
Definitely ways around it. That's just unfortunate. But so your CBD line, right?
So kind of the way it is. So I said, can I sell CBD medicine? And Mark looks at me, he's like, I'm like, what? He goes, we have no idea how to regulate that. Because Mark and I had talked a bunch of times. He inspected my business once every 3 months. He's from the city.
Yeah, Mark from the city.
And I said, I explained to him what it was. And he said, you know, we don't know how to regulate it. So I actually had to meet with him and his bosses. Explain to them at that time what CBD was, why it was different than the dispensary products, and why I should be able to sell it in my shop.
Yeah, I've had those conversations.
Got an email back, not a problem. Okay. Sell CBD. That was 2016.
So this is
now it's in gas stations.
Yeah. That was post Farm Bill.
Was well before Farm Bill.
2018 was the Farm Bill.
Well before Farm Bill. Yeah, we knew CBD and the hemp medicine was a really strong product because it basically lined up with Charlotte's Web, COA wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great medicine, in my eyes.
And so these are this is the COAs on your products.
No, that's the COA on the Plus capsules. So
nice. So these are capsules, CBD.
You know,
capsules.
We decided capsules because most of our market is old people. Mm-hmm. You know, and old people like capsules. They already take capsules. Tinctures are fine, but they get confused. How much am I supposed to take? How long am I supposed to leave it underneath my tongue? Am I supposed to swish it around my mouth? Can I drink right afterwards? I mean, there's so many things that they're thinking about. It just drives them crazy. Mm-hmm. So just take the capsule in the morning. That's what I do. I take it with my coffee. But people take it however they take it. And it gives overall relief. It regulates the endocannabinoid system. That doesn't mean that you can't add to it with anything else that you want. But it's a good regulator. It gives good balance.
Nice.
That's what it's designed for, is there's enough THC in there to activate it, but not necessarily to get you high.
Mm-hmm.
Not its purpose to get you high.
So your regular CBD capsules, those have about 14 milligrams per capsule?
Yeah, they're about 15 CBD and what, 22 total of everything?
Yeah, 22 total of everything, yeah. And then your Plus capsules, it looks like it's almost 60 milligrams of CBD with 1.7 milligrams of THC. Which, so just so everyone knows, the federal legal limit is 0.3% of THC that can be in a CBD product. Yeah.
And
you got some CBG and some CBC in here.
It's funny. People ask me, it's like, do you do CBG? It's like, we've had CBG in our product the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in isolation. I don't believe things should be isolated out just to be put back together in a way that somebody else thinks is better. I'm not smarter than the plant.
Why do you think, I mean, obviously not smarter than the plant, but do you think, you know, do you have any studies that would, obviously there's not that many stories, but do you feel like there's any studies out there that like point to that?
To leave in the plant whole?
Yeah.
Everything about the plant says to keep it whole. The only reason it was broken up and made into isolate is so it could be exported. It's not better for the plant. It's better for pharmaceutical at some point to have it that way. And in a real doctor setting, not a real, I don't want to say a real doctor setting, but in a doctor setting where you can actually use THC, you can use everything, and you can actually make medicine for people, which is future pace, what'll actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way it's gonna work. But this medicine works for a lot of people. So if they need more, we have friends and resources where they can get more or whatever they need.
Yeah. No, definitely. I completely agree with you. I think full spectrum is honestly the only way to go. I take a full spectrum CBD tincture every day, morning and night. Harmonious CBD.
Two of the pills every morning. Yeah. I have since I started selling them. The only reason I would sell it is if it worked, and I felt better.
So what's something like this cost? Like, do you do like a pack of like 30?
Each
or?
Pills are $3. We have packs of 10, 30, 50, or 100, 3,000.
Oh, you can
nobody's ever bought the 3,000, but that's what they come in. So nice. Somebody really wants it; it's there for them, you know.
Yeah. And that's the same price too for your Plus capsule.
No, the Plus is $3, and the regular is $1.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh. Easy math. Yeah.
And you guys are, and I know the location. It's on what is that? Decatur and Twain.
Sure.
Right next to the Bloom Decatur. That's right there. Yeah. And that one, I didn't realize that pool hall next door to you guys. It's like a famous pool hall.
Yeah.
Like Joe Rogan. Like Joe Rogan's a big pool guy, and he goes in there and plays.
They have international tournaments in there.
Oh, I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, it's dope.
I've been in there at night sometimes. Like, I can't get a parking place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to pull it back.
Well, it's a massive pool hall essentially. So yeah, it's super cool.
It got rebuilt.
Oh, it did get rebuilt.
Since we've been there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's much nicer inside now than it was.
Oh, I think I've only seen it new. I was like in there maybe 6 months ago.
Oh, so, yeah, so you saw it after it was all built and stuff.
Yeah.
So if I want a recommendation, if I want to save some money, if I'm patient, if I want to get some of the medical benefits of getting a card, how you know, is it easy?
It's a simple process. We've always made it so that we do all the work. You come into our office, and if you already have a portal, we get your paperwork through the portal. If you don't have a portal, and I mean portal from the state, you have to make a portal with the Department of Health with your driver's license. Once they verify who you are, they send you back your paperwork. You fill it. We help them fill out all the paperwork and see a doctor, and then file it all back with the state. We do that for $80. State fee is either 50 or 100. 50 is going to be for a 1-year card. 100 is going to be for a 2-year card. So for 180 bucks for 2 years, you're all done. No extra charges.
Nice.
So
nice.
We make it really easy, because it's supposed to be. You know, if you're sick, it's a hard enough process. Mm-hmm. You know, some people have problems just even getting in there. So,
yeah.
Are there restrictions? I mean, of like after you get your medical card, that, you know, like things that you can't do after having it, just being in the state?
Well, it's up to debate. You know, if you can get a concealed carry.
You can get a CCW.
You know, that's it's not my area of expertise.
Okay. Okay.
I know it's been an issue, and I know a lot of people don't get the cards because of that.
Okay.
In Colorado, it's not that big of an issue because it's not as big of a gun state.
Yeah.
So that's another reason it wasn't the greatest place for us to come and do medical exams.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Everybody else is gone now. I mean, you know, Sun Valley left. Mm. Dr. Green Relief left. You know, it's just Dr. Reefer and us now, and we're actually doing better, you know.
Well, that's
we
good.
Stuck it out long enough, and
yeah.
Enough people are calling in that, you know, we can actually help a decent amount of people every week now.
How many medical cards do you think are in the market currently?
Well, I'll put it in perspective. The top of the Colorado market was about 125,000, and that was in 2014-15.
Okay.
That market's about 90,000 now, 85 or 90,000. So it's gone back a little bit. The top of the Nevada market was 25, 27,000.
Hmm.
And it's back to probably 17 or 16 right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a gigantic business.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that need the help really do need the help. And
mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to work some legislative things where we can help the patient. It's hard because they don't have a good voice, and there's not a lot of money behind it because there's not that many people.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that need it. They're the ones that are really hurt by the system right now, by the immense amount of taxes paid gleefully by tourists.
Mm-hmm. I think the other issue is too is that, like, the reason why cannabis got passed was for the patient. Like that was the argument, right?
Yes.
And taxes. Yeah. Taxes too, but definitely that was, the patient was the argument.
Yeah.
Well, it was medical here, like, grow your own since 2000.
Yeah.
But not everybody can grow their own. So
yeah.
You know, hey, we need something for the patients to be able to buy medicine. You know, the dispensaries at the time said, you know, we can't, all you could hear was, you know, we need patients. You know, we need rec. We can't survive. We can't survive. We can't survive. So Vegas did what Vegas did. I mean, they went as quickly as possible.
Hmm.
I'm not surprised. I mean, now that I live here, mm-hmm. I'm not shocked at all.
Yeah.
Surprised it took that long.
Right.
Well, and I guess that's, you know, that just shows other legislation that potentially could be happening coming down the pipe, such as, like, you know, cannabis lounges or anything of that nature. You know, stuff like that getting pushed back is, you know, I think surprising to me just because of how fast rec did come on board.
Well, if you look at the power, casinos.
Of course.
If you actually look at the money that casinos generate versus the money that cannabis generates, it's just not even close.
Yeah, night and day.
So if it's federally illegal and they're not going to be behind it until they very actually absolutely have to.
Yeah.
And you know that. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like cannabis is really conducive for the Vegas role that they really want you to be on.
It's true.
You know, cigarettes and alcohol seem to be much more conducive than a couple bong hits and chilling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one wants to hit Haka song after a couple of bong hits.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And stay up till 6 a.m. Yeah. And then, you know, hit the ATM for some more money.
Yeah.
And
I think we're going to see some big complexes, though.
I think we're going to see,
it'll be interesting because, you know, and I think they're going to figure out a way to have a mix eventually. You know what I mean? And it'll be just like a Haka song or whatever nightclub that is, but with just weed also. I don't know. But
I don't know.
They're building the big ones, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how the market actually does, like, I think, respond to them.
I think the biggest thing when it comes to cannabis lounges is going to be activities. That's what people are going to try to sell. Like, come here and smoke and bowl. Come here and smoke and play arcade games.
Well, here especially.
Yeah, especially
there
here.
There has to be something else.
Yeah, it has to be, you know.
But Colorado hasn't figured out lounges either.
That's true.
Nobody's really figured out the great way to do it.
That is true.
But it seems like the legislature is really trying to drive the way the lounges are going to be by saying, well, how are you going to make money if you can't sell weed? Well, let that be up to me.
Yeah.
If I just want to let people come in and smoke and use my pipes and stuff and bring in whatever,
pay a cover,
Nevada product or whatever, maybe I have gourmet food or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they want to do instead of go to the dispensary. Because at the beginning, it's just going to be at the dispensary.
Yeah.
Which, how does that help us?
Doesn't really.
You know?
And I think that's the other thing, too, is like, how do you, I feel like after going to that normal meeting, Steve Yeager was there. He was talking about how I feel like I hope that they're trying to level out the playing field by allowing people, anybody, to get a cannabis lounge license and not just a dispensary. Because, one, it's going to open it up more, and it's going to allow for more creativity, right? Because people are going to have to figure out how to, be creative by doing this.
Yeah, and I think some of the partnership opportunities will be interesting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think they'll be huge. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be very Vegas-esque. Mm-hmm. But there also has to be craft. There has to be a smaller level, too. Let more people play.
Yeah.
You know, don't just give more money to Planet 13 or name a dispensary. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. That's not equitable at all. More people need to get in, not less.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there, but it's moving so slow. Right?
Yeah, it is moving slow.
It seems to be the hardest part.
Yeah.
It really does, and it doesn't seem to be that big a deal, because most of us can just go to the sidewalk.
Yeah. True.
But it shouldn't have to be that way.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't have to be that way.
I mean, I remember sitting by a dumpster with, 20 other people just a year and a half ago, and that was after a normal event. That was the dinner afterwards. It's like, well, where are we all going to go smoke? It's like, well, I guess out in the back, what is this, high school? Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's got to be a place for us just to be able to go and smoke and enjoy some company, that isn't $1,000.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a tourist thing.
Yeah. So. Or that's not alcohol.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But something that we forgot to talk about were these awesome gifts that you brought on the show from us. Can we pop these open?
Absolutely. While you're doing that, the most important thing out of the normal meeting and Senator Yeager was what he's working on DUI.
Yes. In 2 days.
And that's on Friday.
Nice.
Grant Sawyer. All of us are at risk. All of us are at risk every day of being pulled over and getting a DUI, even if we haven't smoked that day.
Talk about that.
The laws that they come up, it's all based on the anagrams in your blood. And we talked to Dallas Clark, one of the senators, and she put up a bill last year that would have changed the anagrams. Well, there's no study that was ever done on how many nanograms is impaired, or does nanograms in your blood even mean impairment?
Right.
So the win that we got was this study that they're doing. It was their fallback of just changing it to 100, because we're like, yeah, change it to 100. That's impaired, I guess, same as 2. So originally impairment was based on 2 nanograms. 2 nanograms, coincidentally, is the smallest detectable amount in human blood. So if they could find it, you were DUI. And I think it's up to 5, but you have that every day just using the medicine the day before, even before you wake up.
And that's a problem.
It's a huge problem. We're sitting ducks.
And for someone that's listening, how could they, what's the best way to get involved with this and help push this not push the DUI law, but help against
bring attention to
yeah, bring attention.
It,
to it. Yeah,
I think it's getting the attention that it needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to get involved, it would be to go to the hearing. and have your voice heard.
And that's in 2 days, right?
Two days, Grand Sawyer Building.
Yeah, I don't have the everything with me, but
check,
I know it's
Check the normal website probably, or check normal.
Or get involved with normal.
Yeah, get involved with normal.
That's how you make things like this happen, because your voice gets heard. If it's a big deal enough for normal, then it's something that they move forward with, and that's where your volunteerism really comes in, is an organization like that. I think that a single voice isn't heard all the time. It's necessary at some points. I learned a lot about the legislature from the last session, just trying. The single voices are necessary, and they do listen to them. But mobilizing the greater force, they hear the bigger numbers. Mm-hmm. So they react to the bigger numbers.
Yeah.
So get involved with normal.
Absolutely.
And so 2 days, we'll post something about it on our Culture and Cannabis Facebook page when we figure out the details. And we'll post something about normal as well when the next meeting is, so you guys can check that out as well. First of all, just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for our gifts. This stuff's great. You got the plus five, the capsules, five of them. I got a nice lid pin. These are sweet. And some all-natural organic hemp flower.
Those are hemp and lavender cigarettes. They're very calming.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
You know, it was like we were walking out of Champs one day, and like the last guy I saw was that guy. And my son loves them, which my son doesn't love anything. Nice. But he loves those. So it made me happy. So, and a lot of other people do too. It's a good substitute for cigarettes. You know, if you want to get off cigarettes, it's, you know, really hard thing to do in this town.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest town in the world to smoke in. I've been smoking those when I'm out with no issue, and
they look good.
Yeah, they actually smell pretty good and smoke pretty good too. So enjoy those.
Awesome, thank you so much.
Absolutely,
and thank you so much for being on the show. And this is episode number 27
in the books.
Done.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Oh, wait, but listen, we gotta do a quick plug. Wait, let's get you to plug something first.
Yeah.
Plug Coa Medical Center on, what's the address?
Sure, 3650 South Decatur, Unit 23.
Where can they find you on social media?
We're in the northeast corner, Decatur and Twain.
Cool.
God, social media.
Just at Coa Medical Center.
CoaMedicalCenters.com with an S is our website. Yeah. The shop is on there. All of our products are on there. Come by and visit. We'll help you if you have a specific need or guidance.
Great. Go check them out. And you want to give a quick plug? What we got going on, JT? What happened today? Today was a whirlwind. I met you this morning at like 10 o'clock, and now we're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been crazy ever since. Mm-hmm. So, but what we've been working on?
We're launching our cannabis products into the market next week. So, you know, it comes with a lot of things, a lot of preparing, a lot of planning, a lot of execution, a lot of compliance.
Yeah. A lot of going back and forth, a lot of passionate talking. We don't argue. We just do a lot of passionate talking, me and JC. Chuck just laughs at us most of the time.
But yeah, it's going down. I think we're going to do – well, I know what we're going to do. We're going to do a 30-day launch, right? We're going to do a 30-day exclusive.
Maybe we should wait till they get there before we announce it. Maybe should we talk about it?
I
want to get in line now.
It's going to be
a good spot.
A really good spot.
It's going to be great. We're really excited about it. But listen, if you're the first 250 to buy our joints, you get a free ticket to our event on February 22nd with Paul Wall at Place on 7th. 250 through 500 gets a 50% off discount code for a ticket, and then 500 on gets 25% discount code.
It's a great deal, man.
Great deal. Cannabis for the Culture. We want to have a great time. February 22nd is going to be our event. We're going to do our joint launch next Friday. I think we're going to do it in Reno and in Las Vegas, too.
At the same time.
I think I might be in Reno and you might be in Las Vegas.
I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, I'm going to go up there. So we'll go shout it out. Reno's going to be a lot more fun anyway, so it don't matter.
I love Reno.
Yeah, Reno's great. But yeah, so check it out. We'll be posting here pretty soon, probably Monday. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And this is the Culture and Cannabis Podcast, episode number 27 in the books. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next Thursday. Peace.
Peace.